Hi, I'm Terry Meekan. Welcome to It's Our Business. It's Our Business are documentaries which get under the hood of companies and people to find out who they are, what they do, and how they do it. I'm at Rover European. Used to be based in Horsley, and they moved down to Nailsworth. And I'm with David Hand, the joint MD of the company. David, how long has the business been going now?
67 years.
And it was started by your father, I believe, up here, wasn't it?
Yes, he started it quickly after the war, I suppose, with taxi business, really, originally. Do bits and pieces for everyone, repairing their cars, keeping the cars on the road, keeping the farmers going.
Jack of all trades,
and there was a quarry up the road. They used to be regularly down here for something to be welded up.
What sort of vehicles did he have in those days?
And I always remember his first possible anything like a luxury coach would have been a 1953 Bedford SB Plaxton, which he bought second hand. And on the side it said Happy Wanderer.
Happy Wanderer. And was that the first coach when he said, well, I think I can do a few trips around here, I might start taking parties out? Or was he doing school trips? And
he was doing school trips. His first contract with Gloucestershire County Council was a run around Aston Down, Minchin Hampton, into Brimscombe Polytech, as it was at the time.
Of course, he knew the hangars quite well up at Aston Down, because I think he came down from up north to actually build them, didn't he?
He came down from Shropshire, and he was before the war, he was a charge hand building the hangars at Aston Down.
And when did you actually take over the business?
I joined my father in 1978 as a partner, and basically took it over 10 years later completely. The garage work then, I'd taken on quite a bit, really. We used to do some commercial work for Townsends at Stroud.
Before you actually got into it, I believe your dad was already doing some outings, wasn't he, with the coaches?
Oh, yeah, dad did quite a lot, really, with WIs and Towns Women's Guild, Mother's Union, the church outings that used to organise trips, and the odd people that used to organise just the odd theatre trip and things like that at that time. Bristol Zoo, and then on down to Weston.
Oh, that was the weekend trip, was it?
That was the popular trip, yeah.
Happy days.
Before motorways, mind.
Happy days.
Took a bit longer.
So now we've got to today. How many coaches in the business now? What's the size of the business now?
We're full size is 14 at the moment.
How old's the oldest one?
Our oldest bus.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it a bus, because people get confused between buses and coaches. Our oldest one is a bus. And it's a 1993.
And what's the difference between a coach and a bus?
Speed limits, no seat belts, and things like that. And I do tell people, if they don't know the difference between a bus and a coach, then I'll buy a bus because they're much cheaper to buy.
What's the cost of a coach nowadays?
Our last new one was, the invoice was £300,000.
And what sort of life do you expect to get out of them?
We do quite good, 12, 15 years, depending on what they're going to do or what you're expecting them to do. But if they're looked after, they go on. And we're not a high mileage company, really. Sort of 25, 30,000 miles per year.
And do you do your own maintenance or subcontract it out?
We do our own maintenance as much as we can, but that isn't so easy today because everything is computerised and you have to plug the computer in to find out what's wrong with it. And because we don't run all the same vehicles, that is a little bit difficult and costly. But in the main, we do our own maintenance.
Are there any British manufacturers of coaches nowadays?
Plaxton's in Scarborough, and they body mainly on Volvo.
Dennis, built. That's a British manufacturer still, isn't
that's
it?
A builder, yeah, built in Guildford, but there are less and less of them being made now. They are more famous for the dust cart. The same company makes the dust carts, or a lot of the dust carts.
So you better make sure your customers get on the right sort of vehicle.
Yeah.
And if they give you any grief, they know which one they're coming back in.
Yeah.
Emission standards now, I believe they're heading towards Euro 6, talking to Delphi Diesel Systems the other day. Is that a problem for you?
It's not a problem as such for us, only in replacement vehicles, new vehicles.
You can't retrofit them.
Not up to Euro 6, as far as I know. We do have some of our older ones. We have Euro 3s, which we've been able to modify the exhaust with what they call a trap, which takes them up to Euro 4, which means at the moment, for the foreseeable future, we can take them into London. It's not only London. There are also, when we get abroad now, there's a lot more awareness of this abroad. And I mean, Germany is in particular, you have to have what they call an Umwelt certificate, which looks rather like a tax disc stuck in the window.
Which specifies what the emissions are of the vehicle.
What the emissions are.
Which they can check, I presume, on the roadside.
Yeah, they can.
Do a roadside check.
But when you have a new vehicle, you get a certificate, and when you fit new exhaust point, you get a certificate to tell you what they are.
I mean, there has been talk of it for a long time, and the batteries are so expensive, but I can't really see electric coming in, but maybe hybrid electrics coming in buses?
Well, they've gone a long way down the road now with electrics.
Are they?
Yeah, hybrids particularly, yes. All sorts of things, gas and what have you, from buses. I don't know of anything too much in the coaches.
How many drivers have you got on the books?
25 on the books. Approximately 25. Obviously a little bit seasonal, but mainly 25.
These coach drivers are full age range, or you got youngsters in there as well?
We've got one youngster, I'm going to say youngster, who really is Rob, is my right-hand man, more or less now, but we are also just training up a young lad at 21 who will shortly be taking his test. But other than that, there are, I'm going to say, 40 plus.
How do you balance the demand for drivers when it comes to having to do both long distance driving and school runs? Do you separate the drivers into two sorts? Do some only do local and some do long distance?
No, they do everything. Only one or two of the older drivers mainly do the contract work and the odd shorter private hire. But the other drivers are experienced to go on the continent and do the tours.
How far is your radius for the school trips? How far do you have to go out?
How far do we go out? We go Cirencester into Stroud Schools. We go around Hillsby and that to KLB at Wootton and out to Tetbury.
So how many buses on every morning go out for schools? Rephrase that. How many coaches go out every morning for schools?
How many vehicles?
Okay,
involves 9 vehicles. We're doubling up in
9.
9 vehicles are involved mornings. And
so that leaves you only 3 vehicles in the workshop for to do any long-distance trips or something like that.
Yeah, there aren't that many private hire jobs that go out before 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Odd ones, yes. Mm. But
your summer tours abroad and that, are you saying that you're restricted to just 3 coaches because the rest of them have got to be held back for school runs and things like that?
Well, we do, obviously, we've got to hire in occasionally to cover different jobs and other operators we work with locally. Works both ways. We help them, they help us.
So sometimes they might be travelling in somebody else's livery.
Only local stuff. That is not on...
Not on the tours.
No, the tours are all done basically for use of express in-house, own vehicles, own drivers, own couriers, tour guides.
Although it's a very competitive business because you've got shearings and people like that, there's also a camaraderie underneath you saying where people do help each other out in different ways.
Oh, yes. When you need help, there's always people there to help you.
So how do you get your customers then, the ones that go on tours? Is it through advertising?
We advertise, yes, and we've got website, etc. But most of it comes through word of mouth, recommendation. The best form of advertising you can have.
What's the furthest you go now?
We've been to Zakopane in Poland, Croatia, been to Croatia. We've done Budapest, Vienna, but they are one-off tours.
Do you get any hassle from authorities abroad, police and regulations, checking this, checking that, checking the other?
You can do, yes. Different countries have different ideas, meaning we're supposed to be all in the EU together, but they have their own ideas on tachograph regulations and things like that.
France seems to keep changing the goalposts, don't they? They've got breathalyzers 2 at a time now, I think, haven't they?
For going into France now, you have to carry 2 breathalyzers. If it's a double-manned thing, you have to carry 4. They can stop you any time and breathalyze you, but you have to have your own equipment to do it.
How do you manage to keep up with all these changing rules and regs? You can't sit in an office looking at what's going on abroad. Is there a trade body which feeds you information?
CPT, yeah.
How long can a driver drive for before he's got to stop and take a break or change over?
4.5 hours is the maximum you can drive in one period, and then you must have a 45-minute break.
What's the penalties then for if the tachometer shows that the driver is marginally over the top? Do they just give you a warning, or do they actually hit you with a fine?
If it happens regularly enough, that you go up before the traffic commissioner, and that can be a fairly hefty fine.
What is a traffic commissioner? It sounds a bit Stalinistic to me. Is there these traffic commissioners looking down from a high bench at you? Who are they composed of? Is it local magistrates or something?
No. We have they originate from the forces, I think, most of them, and they have a knowledge of a fairly good knowledge, I think, of what's going on, because a traffic commissioner also, you know, if you're in trouble, your vehicle, bad maintenance, that sort of thing, you will go up before the traffic commissioner. And he has the authority then to revoke your licence if it's bad enough. And that's how it, you know, that's what they do.
There's something which you've always probably got to shake out on a pretty regular basis. What do you reckon the difficulties are? Balancing staff, getting staff?
The difficulties is marrying everything together with driver's hours and days off. Because as well as the driver's hours now, you have to have you can work 6 days, maximum of 6 days, then you must have a day off, 24 hours. The next week you must have 45 hours off, and those things are a bit difficult to manoeuvre around. Before this meeting this morning, I've been dealing with Gloucestershire County Council because of a road closure, and although the road closure is not affecting us directly, but the diversion of traffic is affecting us badly on getting into the first school and then time to get to the second school, and obviously we're running late.
I suppose that's one of the biggest things you've noticed over the years, is the amount of the increase in traffic on the roads that take you longer to get to your destinations.
Yeah. And I mean, things like last year in Stroud, is it last year, or when they were doing the bridge and whatnot, I mean, that caused us a few problems on time. We were able to alter the timings and what have you, and you know, in fairness, I think that did in the finish run fairly smooth.
The cost of your raw materials has gone quite high in the last few years. It must have had an effect on the cost. Fuel, for instance, is particularly expensive now. I mean, can you try and buy in bulk if you can, to try and keep it down a bit?
Yes, you can. You can buy in bulk.
But it still keeps going up.
Yeah.
In price.
I find it difficult to eat all the food that I go and buy at the local supermarket so as I can get cheaper diesel.
You can pass some of it on to me and I'll give you a Twisket. I mean, what sort of insurance bill are you getting for a company like this?
Our actual vehicle insurance this coming year, as we're just coming up to renewals, is just under £50,000. That's purely for the vehicles.
Goodness.
But then we have to take up, obviously, premises, and we take out extra insurance for the drivers when they're away and whatever to cover them in case of any problems.
And can you do like the consumer can by getting no claims discount, protected no claims, or is that not available in the commercial field?
Not available in the commercial world, but I've got to say we have had a clean year.
And do you ever look around each year? Do you always stay with the same insurer?
We have an agreement with a company called QBE. They're not the cheapest, but they are very good.
So if you do have a little scratch or a bang or whatever,
You can talk to them, I suppose, is what I'm saying.
Ferry or Eurotunnel when you're travelling abroad, is there an option for you at all?
There is an option. Because of our distance from Dover, which is the main port that we use, the ferry is preferred. By the time we get to Dover, everyone's ready for a nice break and a leg stretch. And people do get this disillusioned, I think is the right word to use, that the tunnel is quicker. But because of the driver's regulations, it is no quicker. Because they have to take a break either this side or the other side.
It must make it a bit more exciting anyway, I would think, going on a ferry than going on a dark railway tunnel. We're talking about the logistics of running the business, types of vehicles and the cost of running the business, but at the end of the day, we've got to remember there's passengers being carried as well. You find by and large your passengers are good-hearted.
When you're out on a tour, it's like a big family, really.
So it's a permanent holiday for you.
It's permanent holiday, well.
No hassle, nobody dying on you, nothing like that.
No. Oh, we've had the odd one of that, unfortunately. We've had that to deal with on the odd occasion, yes.
So it's been a good, looking back, it's been a good time. Any thoughts of retirement? What'll happen eventually? You think you'll sell it on or pass it down or what?
What's retirement? What's that? Certainly not at the moment.
No.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
As long as you enjoy it, you carry on doing it, and as long as you're fit enough. Fit enough, been fit and well enough is the main question on that, I suppose, really.
So you're driving along the road and you're going on holiday having a great time, and maybe you're off on your 45-minute break and you've got the passengers there, they're all in having their coffee, and you want to sit, put your feet up for 10 or 15 minutes and maybe put a bit of music on to yourself, what do you think you would put on?
I'd put on Candy.
By Robbie Williams.
By Robbie Williams.
Candy by Robbie Williams. David Hand, thank you very much. I'm Jackie Day at Rover European, and Jackie works as an anchorwoman in the office here. Do you get many come in here, customers?
We do get quite a few, yes, especially now we're down here.
It seems a bit unusual to have customers coming in to what is like a small industrial estate, isn't it, for to book their coach holidays. They usually do them through travel agents and things like this.
Oh, no, with us, they do like to come into the office. Mm. Quite often they've been along to Waterside, along to the Weybridge to have their lunches.
Have you ever been on any of the tours yourselves as an employee doing some work on the tours?
Yes, I've done one to Austria and I've done a Turkey and Tinsel.
What did you have to do on those two?
Just again, obviously meet and greet people as they're coming on board the coach, make sure they're sat in their right seats, and then you help do the teas and coffees and things like that.
But that's unusual. They don't normally have a person on board, do they, apart from the driver? Or is that an unusual
experience? On some of the continental ones, they do tend to go with a courier as well. Obviously, because it just makes the driver's work a bit easier. Carol sometimes does it as well, because obviously that helps with the driver's hours and his rest days.
Do you get any awkward customers? Are they all pretty...
No, we're quite lucky, actually. No, they all tend to be really nice.
And what about at the other end? special room and special food, or have you got to eat and eat?
No, they always eat and eat with the group. I wouldn't say they get a special room sometimes. Mm-hmm. We've known them to have broom cupboards, as we call them.
What do you like about doing this job here? Or just like now that they're out of the room?
No, I like working here. I like all the people that work here. I like meeting all the different people. You get quite a sort of rapport with some of them, because obviously I've been here quite a long time. You get a lot of repeat business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you get to know your clients quite well. Yes.
And they're all in the Stroud area, I presume. Are they coming here, are most of them?
Most of them are in the Stroud area. Some of them are as far as sort of Thornbury or Tewkesbury, Cheltenham. That tends to be our catchment area.
Can you drive a coach yourself?
No, I have enough problems with the car.
You never thought about driving a coach?
No.
Becoming part of it?
No.
So Christmas coming up, has Rover European got any special tinsel tours?
We've got one going to Hampshire to sign a warrant to one of the Warner hotels. That's at the beginning of December. We've got what we would call our first sort of Christmas event, which is going to the Albert Hall for the Classical Spectacular. And for us as a company, we've been doing that probably 6 or 7 years now, that we actually say that that's our first Christmas tour. Gets everyone into the spirit.
So, and then when the new year comes, does it die off, or do people want to get away in January? What's the best times of the year?
Best time is obviously summer. It does die a little bit in sort of January, February, but not that we're doing the holidays then, but we get a lot of people coming in to book their holidays because they're obviously fed up with those sort of the winter weather.
When you go on holiday, where do you go?
I've got a brother who lives in Australia, so I tend
to... You go long distance. It's a long way for a coach to travel.
It is an awful long way for a coach to travel, yes.
That's a horrible journey, 24 hours on a plane. Do you go out there every year to see him?
Try to go sort of every other year, every 3 years. It's quite expensive.
It's gone up too as well, I think.
It has, yes.
It's such a long way to go. You feel as though you've got to take at least 2 or 3 weeks.
3 weeks is probably the minimum. I've done it once with a 2 week holiday.
Just getting over jet lag.
To come back, yes. Yeah, it was pushing it a bit.
How long have you been out there now?
Six years.
So he'd be able to listen to you on the internet if he goes.
Could listen to me on the internet, yes.
Well, while he's listening, he can also listen to your choice of music. What would you like as a choice of music?
Adele and Skyfall.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. Drowned and dreamt this moment, so overdue I owe day. Swept away, I'm stolen. Let the sky fall. You'll never have my heart.
no coach company would be effective without someone looking after the transport. And I'm with the transport manager here, Rob Southern. Rob, what should being a transport manager in a company like this entail?
Main jobs are just allocating drivers and vehicles to the jobs. I mean, certain jobs obviously have certain amount of passengers. We've got different size coaches. Drivers generally are allocated to their own coach. So obviously, some coaches have, say, 30 seats. You've got that driver, that coach is on that job. But then occasionally you do get favourite drivers. So then you have to swap the drivers with the coaches, and then you have to sort out the arguments. Yeah, that's right, yeah. You got my coach, or you didn't leave it clean, or that scrape wasn't on there when I last drove it, and stuff like that. So.
Do you actually allocate, on a daily basis, coaches for trips?
Yes, because, I mean, we've got the private hire, and, of course, we've got the sort of the bread and butter stuff, which is the school runs, morning and afternoon. So that's another thing. You've got to try and fit the school runs in with the private hire. And again, you've got certain school runs which have certain amount of kids, and then you've got to try and link that in with the private hire with a different amount of adults, and it's just trying to fit it all in.
When you say private hire, you mean private hire locally? You're not talking about the coach trips, you're talking about private hire locally?
Just private groups, you know, the WI, Probus groups, that sort of thing, where they want to have a day out, so I don't know, Bewley Motor Museum, London for the day.
But you get advance notice of that, it's not like on the fly, is it? You
can generally, no, I mean... The thing with the older people is they are quite organised. So you do get it in a few months in advance. Occasionally we do get questions about jobs a couple of days before. You could have them from the schools, especially if they've been let down by another company or whatever. It is then sort of a matter of trying to sort something out. We are part of Coachmark, which is a nationwide initiative. So say a coach is broken down in our local area, for an operator who's miles away, we do get called in. We can.
You run an industry AA service.
Sort of, yeah. It's, I mean, it all works together. Obviously, if for whatever reason we had a breakdown or something, they do the same for us. So,
how many buses go out? And I call them buses because in that respect, they will be buses because they're doing the school runs. How many buses go out for the school runs?
About 7.
What about the mechanical aspects of the job? Is that something you get involved in? The engineering side of it, maintaining things?
Only occasionally. I mean, we've got a full-time fitter.
What was your background before you came into this then?
Dairy farming.
Was it very difficult, very long hours and things?
I never mind the long hours, and I still don't mind the long hours, which is why I like this job, but it was the pay. I mean, I started with the buses with Stagecoach. I did them for 2 years to get me licences and a bit of experience. But the reason I changed is obviously the wages are a couple of pounds an hour more. For a single bloke who likes his travel and it likes his engines and that sort of thing, it's
perfect. Best job in the world.
Perfect job, yeah. When you get married, it's not so easy.
Yeah. But at the moment, you're doing the top gear of the coaching industry. You're going around playing with all the different coaches in
basically
different places.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part of doing your job then?
Trying to keep everybody happy. You cannot keep everybody happy. It's not possible. So you'll either get it from you above, and you'll get it from below, or both. That's really the
so broad shoulders.
One. Yeah. Well, you've got to try. I'm getting there, but I still haven't quite got it. But no, I mean, they're a good bunch. So
when you go on holiday, where do you go then? Or do you just take, is it a busman's holiday or a coachman's holiday because you actually go on the coaches and trip?
Yeah, well, to be honest, it is. I mean, I've got a tour coming up, only a small one, down to Hayling Island along from Portsmouth for 5 days, and they've said that I could take my wife along with me. So, I mean, it's just a break, really. I mean, I know you've got passengers and you've got responsibilities, but...
Well, like you were saying earlier on, it's a great job for a single man, but perhaps it's not so good for when you get married.
Not so good for when you're married, and then I expect it gets even worse when you've got kids.
Yeah.
It's always sort of surprised me that if you see these sort of stereotypical coach drivers, there's a fairly old, fairly chunky bloke, and I can't really understand why no more young people come into it, really, because it is a brilliant job.
Maybe they don't know that there's vacancies available.
It's quite possible, yeah.
I mean, there might not be. I mean, if somebody came and knocked on the door here, there's no vacancies for drivers, is there?
Well, there's always for the right person, I'm sure.
Well, then, you know, anybody listening to this, if they fancy getting into it, of a younger ilk, maybe they'll come forward. So you're driving along, you're listening to a bit of music. What would it be?
Well, some of my passengers might not think along the same lines, but I quite like Chris Isaak, Wicked Game.
Thank you. wicked thing to do, to let me dream of you. What a wicked thing to say, you never felt this way. What a wicked thing to do, to make me dream of.
Partnership at Rover European Coaches. Carol, what do you do down here?
Well, I'm mainly involved in the planning and the putting together of our holiday operation, both British and continental tours.
Does this mean you've got to liaise with overseas hoteliers and check out the standards and things like this? You have to go and visit them?
Yes, that's right. Yes, we try to visit as many as we can during the winter period when we're quiet. But yes, basically checking.
They must give out the welcoming carpet though if they think you're going to get business off you.
Well, some of our hotels we've worked with for a good number of years now, and you know, we have a good relationship with them.
Is there any you've had a back heel because the standards have slipped?
We have done in the past, yes. We've had hotels in our brochure for our holiday programme, and obviously this is planned a good 12-18 months in advance. And then there has been the odd occasion when the standards have slipped in the hotel and we haven't been happy with it. And we have, in fact, moved from there to a different hotel if we're not happy with the standard.
When people are taking integrated packages and there's maybe rail and boat and stuff like that involved, do you pre-book everything in advance and they just have to get the ticket when they go there? Is it your job to actually liaise with the boat operators abroad and the inclusive little side tours and that?
That's right. Everything is booked well in advance, yes. Yeah. And we do all the liaising with the various companies, ferry companies, hotels, attractions. As I say, we've been running our holiday programme now since 1981. Some of those hotels that we used then in that first year, we're still working with now. And some of the hoteliers have become quite good friends. And some of the agents that we deal with, particularly Austria, we have got a very, very good working relationship and social relationship with as well now.
There are specialised tours of markets now, aren't they, where people actually go and learn things, like on cruises, you know, the cruises of the Arctic and the wildlife and things like that, mm-hmm. or learn how to paint or learn how to do yoga or whatever else takes their fancy. Is that something that Rover's gone into at all?
We have explored it, but it hasn't come out in our programme yet. We have dabbled a little bit, just by way of interest really, but it's not something that we've gone into in a big way. I mean, we have done wine tours, you know, that are interested in wine.
Do any retail customers ever come in here?
We do get a number of visitors, and people will come. They may be going out for lunch. They'll come and make a booking and go off for lunch and things like that.
For next year, when would you have to put your brochure into the printers and get everything together and your prices and things like this?
Well, our holiday brochure for next year has been out about 6 weeks now. And after Christmas, I will be starting the planning for our 2014 holidays. So it's very often 12 to 18 months in advance that the planning starts.
So do you get your brochures printed locally, try and keep the money in the area and
yes,
use local services if possible?
We do. We always try to use local services as far as possible. And for the last number of years, we've worked with a lovely little design company who are based in the Stroud area.
I was looking at your brochure or your background information on the company, and there was an accolade you won. What was that for?
Well, every year within the coaching industry, there is an awards ceremony. And one of the categories in that is for Coach Holiday Brochure of the Year. And there were hundreds of entries literally from all over the country. And we were down to the final five in the final for the awards. Unfortunately, we didn't win.
Who does the judging for it?
It's a panel of people within the coaching industry.
What are they looking for?
They're looking for a brochure that's appealing, that's clear in design. It makes you feel like you want to go on holiday. The fact that it's easy to read, easy to understand, and appealing visually. And also then the content, the variety of content, the places that you go to, and the itineraries that you put together.
Have you got a background in market in design work then, or is it just something you've picked up over the years?
No background at all. It's just evolved through producing the holiday brochure since 1981.
I suppose the other thing about this particular business model of running a coach company or similar holiday company is that at least you know that you're getting your money in, because you can't get on the coach unless they bought the ticket. So from the financial point of view, you're keeping the financial under control, apart from the overheads and things like the cost of fuel, the coach with drivers, which pretty much you can work out. You do know if you're filling up your coaches at least to a certain capacity that the business is going to keep going forward.
That's right, yes, you do, yes. And this year we have managed to get our holiday brochure out a lot earlier than we normally do. Normally it's only out in December, whereas this year we had it out in October. And so, yes, already we've got a feel for, you know, how things are going for 2013.
You're trying to steal a march on the competitors by getting in early, were you?
Well, no. It's just a lot of our passengers have said to us in the past, you know, can we have it earlier? Can we have it earlier? So this year we've actually...
So have you got people booking up already, have you?
We've already taken a lot of bookings for 2013.
That's
yes,
good.
Yeah.
As long as you're taking the money as well as their bookings, that's good. How do you know when to press the button on prices with all these changes going on with fuel and things like that? Have you ever had to invoke any surcharges for your customers at all?
We did a few years ago when everything sort of went pear-shaped with currency and exchange. And the value of the pound against the euro just deteriorated.
Well, you won at one stage, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. And for that year, we did have to surcharge. The difference was so great. If it was a minimal difference, we would always try and absorb it. But since that time, we've adopted a new policy, because obviously we don't like having to charge people extra when the price has already been fixed. And since that period, we have always now forward contracted the amount of foreign currency that we believe we're going to need for that year, and then we get it at a fixed price.
Some of the destinations you go to are outside the Eurozone, aren't they? Or Euro currency, at least. Hungary, I believe, is where it's on currency.
Yes, they are. One or two countries are, but not that many.
I mean, Thomas Cook came out with an overview, I think it was Thomas Cook, or whatever, the post office, not quite sure who it was, but someone came out with an overview of the way that holiday money goes further in different countries over the last 4 or 5 years. I think Spain used to be expensive, but it's becoming less expensive now because so many people are out of work and people are cutting their prices. Have you noticed any shift in destination which has become cheaper or dearer? Have you noticed anything of that nature at all?
Well, I as far as Spain goes, Spain did used to be a very cheap place to go. But over the last few years, the costs of going to Spain have increased. And yes, now they have got problems and things are starting to come down a little bit. But really, Spain was becoming a much more expensive place to visit.
Which is the best value economy, you reckon, at the moment for the holidaymaker?
Austria, I think you get really good value for money. Prices there seem to be not too bad on the whole, very comparable to what we have here.
What about those in Hungary? Their currency has gone down against the pound, hasn't it?
It has, yes, but our last tour to Hungary was about 3 years ago now, so we haven't had that experience.
Are you the anchor woman here if anything goes wrong? I mean, if somebody is taken seriously ill on holiday or something like that, do they come back to you and you have to organise the logistics of that? Or is that done by the driver and the person out the other end there?
No, if there are any problems whilst tours are away, they will contact us here at the office in the first instance and we will deal with everything as far as we can from here. Touchwood, it's all been relatively easy going considering the number of miles we go and the number of passengers that we carry. We have had the odd problem, obviously, but considering how long that we've been doing the tours, you know, really the percentage is very, very small.
On the domestic front, taking the children backwards and forwards to school, I mean, are they pretty well behaved?
Well, it can be a bit boisterous after school when they're coming out, but on the whole, in this area and the children we deal with, we are very, very lucky. We do get the odd problem with the odd child, but when you hear of some of the things that go on in some of the cities and the larger towns, we are very, very lucky.
So you wouldn't do anything else but be involved in a coach company then? You actually love the business, do you?
I wouldn't, no. We live, eat and breathe it, and yes, we do love what we do, and we hope that that comes across to our passengers.
So while you're actually sitting here living and breathing the coach business, and we might as well put a bit of music on for you, what would you like?
I would like to hear T-Rex, I Love to Boogie.
He's laughing at that. That obviously brings back a few memories.
Been listening to It's Our Business by Terry Meekin. It's Our Business are documentaries which get under the hood of companies and people to find out who they are, what they do, and how they do it. to make the colour, depth and detail of your business available 24/7 worldwide, contact terrymeekin.com. You can also visit www.terrymeekin.com, where you can hear and download more documentaries in the series.